We're just going to keep right on going with Paul. I'm so excited this morning. Good night in the morning. It's great. What a beautiful day. We should all be destined for a place called hell, but because of Jesus Christ, we get to go to heaven when we die. I'm so excited about that. I believe the rapture's got to be coming close. This place is just going crazy around here in this world anymore. But you know what? The crazier it gets, the closer we get, amen? So go crazy, world. Go crazy. Man, I'm excited. The things that they're letting get by today are just amazing. The things that they're putting on the news are amazing. The things that are going on are amazing. But you know what? When we end up getting checked out of here, how amazing will that be? What story will they print that day? Could you think about that for a minute? Man, Brother McDaniel's gone. Nobody's worked his garden in a week. What in the world are they going to do? I'm excited. Boy, I'm excited about serving the Lord. No better place to be than in church. Good night in the morning. There's no better place to be than in church. Let's have a word of prayer quickly, and we will get started. Brother Mike Freimeyer, could you please lead us in prayer this morning? Please. Amen. We started last week just a little bit. We didn't get too awful far. Because I got a little bit excited about Jeremiah, but that's all right. That's a good thing. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to start again in verse number 36. We're just going to read one verse. Standing with me for the reverence of the Word of God. That's the only thing I reverence, Jesus Christ and His Word, and God the Father and God the Son. I'm going to tell you right now, don't revere men. Oh, man alive. One of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody calls me reverend. Man, I hate that. There ought not be anybody that you revere except Christ. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you look at this, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 15, verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. Do you see that? The Bible says, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much again for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, please be with me. Lord, speak through me this morning, always speaking through me. I don't want the words to be out of my mouth. I want the words to be out of your mouth. So, Lord, help us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about last week how Paul starts out his second missionary journey. His first missionary journey was wrought with tragedy and wrought with temptation and wrought with hard times and wrought with difficult things and wrought with stoning and wrought with injury, but the second missionary journey was far harder than the first one ever was. And I'm going to be honest with you, if you would go from nation to nation and place to place and city to city, and everywhere you went, you had some victory, but you also had some defeat. A couple of the places that he goes to, certainly the defeat would seem to be much more than the victory. And there are times in our lives when we face things, and you've got to be honest with yourselves, there's times when we face things that we certainly would not make the statement, let us go again. We live in a society where it's better to tuck tail and run than it is to face the enemy. Well, not in Paul's day. And I'm going to be honest with you, 40 years ago, it wasn't in their day that they would tuck tail and run. I'm so thankful that Billy Sunday kept pushing. I'm so thankful that the men of old kept pushing. I'm so thankful that the men of old gave little snot-nosed brats like me the faith that we have today. The faith that we have today in Bethel Baptist Church is not a popular faith. The stand that we take on the Bible today is not a popular stand. But we're going to stand. And if people decide that, well, I'm going to buck you every step of the way, fine, buck all the way, but we're going to stand. If the church goes down to one little Hebrew man in the front row, we're going to stand. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if we don't have the foundation of the Scripture, and if that Scripture's not holy, then what are we standing on? Because I want you to notice this. Let us go again to Glad Hand. Let us go again to pat them on the back. Let us go again, and what it says is to visit our brethren, to see how they do, but where we've preached the word. Where we've preached the word. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get a fellow that stands up here and starts preaching to you out of some book that a man wrote, some commentary that some man wrote, and I don't care how good the man is. I love Dr. Al Lacey, but if I start standing up here preaching to you out of a book that Dr. Lacey wrote,
hog-tie me and say, "Brother, preach out of the Bible." Because that's where we get our stand. That's, and by the way, Dr. Lacey would be amening that statement. It says, let us go again. Let us go again to the places where we just were to see how the people do. Can I ask you something? If we went to a place, and I've got to jog your thought process here because I want you to understand it, just as much of a battle as our preachers in, just as much of a battle as I'm in, just as much of a battle as your deacons are in, do you understand that you are in that same battle? Don't think that you're immune from attack. Don't think that you're immune from people coming after you saying you're nuts for standing for that Bible. Don't think that for 1 minute. Don't think that you're immune from people when you say you've got eternal security. It's amazing that you breathe the word eternal security. You got 20 people coming back at you. You're crazy. Okay? Understand this. You are in that battle too. That brings up this next question. Paul says, I got to go back and visit those other churches. I got to go back and see those places. I've got to go back and see the brethren. The brethren witnessed Paul being stoned. Think with me now. The brethren witnessed Paul being put on the outskirts of the city as he was dead. The brethren witnessed this. Let me ask you a question. This brought this to my mind. What would happen someday if your preacher was thrown in jail for preaching the Word of God or beaten because he preached the Word of God? Can I ask you a question? Would you come to church? Paul says, we've got to go again because the people that saw me beaten for Jesus Christ, the people that saw me stoned for Jesus Christ, the people that saw me left for dead for Jesus Christ need to see me again. Not because of the man, but because of the man, the Jesus Christ that he serves. See, listen to me. If something tragic happens at this church to the preacher or your associate pastor or Brother Mark or the men of this church, if something tragic happens, are you going to keep coming? Amen. So you've got to get in your heart a faith that says, no matter what, I'm going to stand. No matter what. Oh, there's time for backpedaling. There's time for sissy whistling. There's time for being a patsy, but there just isn't time here for any of that. See, we need people with steely backbones. Because we talk all the time, well, there's going to be days when they come in here and throw our pastor in jail. You going to stay away from church when that happens? Because I got to be honest with you, they throw a pastor in jail, and I stand in this pulpit just to take his place for a minute. I promise you, they're probably going to take me next. Are you going to be next? Would you stand up in the pulpit and preach the Word of God? See, that's what you got to understand. Paul left, and they saw him get beaten. Did they have the fortitude to stay in tune with God? Let's read on. The Bible says in verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname is Mark. And you know this. Immediately, Paul met with contention and with Barnabas, his good friend. Don't think for 1 minute that Barnabas and Paul left and never reconciled their differences. See, what you got to understand is this. In the Christian walk, you are going to have differences with somebody at a time or another. You are going to have differences at one day or another with somebody that's in the ministry. That's just the way it works. Human beings just can't get along. You remember the famous statement by Rodney King, can't we all just get along? The answer is no. But there's going to be a time when you butt heads with somebody, especially if you're dogmatic about what you believe. Eventually, there's going to be a time when you butt heads. It does not mean that you can't get back together and reconcile and be friends. Five times later in the scriptures, after Paul and Barnabas split up, five times later, Paul talks about Barnabas. And it's all good. It's all nice things. That's another question you have to ask yourself. Would you be willing to have somebody have a disconnect with you? Now, this wasn't a doctrinal disconnect. This was a disconnect because he didn't want to take John Mark because John Mark was a patsy the first time around. By the way, John Mark changed his life around and became very steely for the Lord. But Paul talked about Barnabas later on, said, man, he's a good man. He worked hard for the Lord. And Barnabas did, by the way, worked hard for the Lord. Don't think that you can't reconcile your differences. Dr. Gray preached one of the greatest messages on forgiveness that I've ever heard. That you must, that for the innocent must pay before sin can be sent away. So he said, well, Paul didn't deserve to have Barnabas leave him. It didn't matter. I promise you, Paul said he was sorry, so sin could be sent away. There's got to be a time when you have a backbone enough to say you're sorry. By the way, it takes a backbone to forgive. It doesn't take a backbone to be forgiven. It takes a backbone to forgive. So we saw that they split up. They saw that they went away. And then he came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Now let me ask you a question. Do you remember what happened in Lystra? Anybody remember what happened in Lystra? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. In Lystra, do you remember what happened? They followed him there. Whoever these folks were that did not like Paul too much, they followed him to Lystra, and they had him stoned there. They had him beaten there. They left him half dead there. You would think there's no way Paul's going to go back. Would you? Hey, listen, he got, you say you would. You ever been hit by a stone? How about 100? I'm going to tell you, it takes a real, real convicted fella to go back. How many Christians, well, bless God, if they don't want to hear what I got to say, I'm never coming back. Bless God, if these people don't like me, then I'll never come back. Well, 90% of the people probably did not like Paul. We like to stay where 90% like us. But let me explain something to you. The word of the Lord was preached. It's not that they didn't like Paul, they didn't like the word. Paul said, I've got to go back and visit them. I've got to go back and see how they do. I've got to go back because I know that this place tried to put me under, but I've got to go back. He goes back and he finds Timothy. Let me explain something to you now. Timothy was one of Paul's dearest friends. Timothy was a fella that was his preacher boy. You hear preachers all the time talk about, well, he's my Timothy. All the time about how Paul was so excited and so awestruck to know that Timothy did such a great work for God. Do you know where Timothy was from? He was from the very place that hated Paul. He was from the very place that stoned Paul. This is what happened. He went back to a heap of coal and found him a diamond. He went back to a place that he was not required to go to in human speaking. Most of you would say, oh, don't go back there, Paul. Your safety is more important. I thank God that Mark Sigstad doesn't think that way. And let me tell you, that's easy preaching in America. I've never had to live that preaching. I pray to God that if ever happens, I live that preaching. But understand this. Paul knew that there was something there. I got to go back. And he found Timothy. I have to ask you, because this brings this to my mind. Christian, what happens if you don't go back? What happens if you don't go back to the place that you're so scared to go back to? A lot of times, we don't want to go back to a place where we have to live our life better than we're living it now for Christ. We don't want to go back to a place where we were coming to church every time the doors are open. We don't want to go back to that place because we don't want to get too close to God. Because if you get too close to God, Lord, God might convict you to do something for him. And if God convicts you to do something for him, oh, Lord, have mercy, then I'm going to be tied to this church somehow. And I'm thankful that pews have people sitting in them. Jesus Christ did not call you just to fill a pew. And coming to church is not the full service either. Being a Christian 24/7 is the service for Jesus Christ. I think Paul lived that. And I think because Paul lived that in a place where he was almost destroyed, he comes and he finds his preacher boy. He comes and he finds this gym, this wonderful place. Let me ask you a question. If you're not willing to go back to a place that you won somebody, I'll give you a perfect example. People go into the ghettos all the time to tell people about Jesus Christ. A lot of people are afraid to go there. I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I go to the ghetto, I have more success in the ghetto than I ever have in the middle-class neighborhoods. I get many more doors slammed in my face in the middle. Brother Carl and I went out soul winning one time. Good Lord, have mercy. Every time a door opened about this far, then we're Catholic. Poof. The Bible says go to the poor, the halt, the maimed. Are you willing to go there? And if you go there, it's amazing if you go back you may find yourself a Timothy. You may find your, how many stories have you heard where somebody from a poor neighborhood came up and did something great for Christ? How many times have you heard of somebody that has a just a horrible background and the Lord brought them out of that to serve Christ? The question is, are you willing to be that Paul? Are you willing to be that Paul that goes back and says, you know what, I'm not satisfied with the answer of no, I'm not going to go forward for Christ. I'm not satisfied with the answer of no, I know I made that first step, but I'm not going to keep making that next step. I got that door slammed in my face. I'm not willing to go soul winning anymore.
Quiet in here, man. That's good stuff.
Things happen all the time. My wife and I got to meet Ruth Starks yesterday. How many of you remember Ronnie? Yeah. Ronnie Starks. Right. It was so awesome. I mean, if we didn't take the time to go, and we didn't win her to Christ, but it was neat to meet that lady. It was neat to just know that somebody cared about her son. I mean, how would you like it if somebody came and said, man, I really loved your son, to your door, somebody you didn't even know? You've got to be willing to go back. You say, well, I've met defeat there. Brother Dave, I've met defeat. Yeah, but Timothy's waiting there. I've met defeat. Yeah, but that's where Timothy is. Yep. Where the defeat was, that's where the victory is. Yep. Yep. It's a city, preacher, that hated me and stoned me, but that's where Timothy was. And if he doesn't go back, what happens to Timothy? If he doesn't go back, does Timothy write Timothy, first and second? If he doesn't come back, does Timothy get to see what the ministry is all about? That brings me to another thought. You know, if you go back to a place, it encourages others to go back to a place.
Yeah. Right.
Even if you meet defeat again, let me tell you something. There's a lot of times throughout this nation's history that we've met difficulty. And throughout this nation's history, we've gone back and defeated. We've gone back and won. We've gone back and had the battle and won the fight. And I'm going to be honest with you, as Christians, we tend to not fit that mold. The first time we meet resistance as Christians, we tend to stop. We tend to say, it's just not enough to serve Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, to me, it makes me think that we don't believe Christ is really real. That may be hard for some of you to hear, but understand this. I know Paul met Jesus on Damascus Road. I know that Paul had a supernatural experience in his life. But I woke up this morning realizing that I should be destined for hell. I woke up this morning realizing that I should be destined for a lake of fire forever. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you should be destined for that place too. But Jesus Christ saved you. He came to a place that hated him. He came to a place that did worse than stoned him and left him for dead. They killed him. Put him through the worst of things I've ever seen. Can I help you, Christian? This got me excited now. Glory to God. A place that the devil thought meant defeat is actually a place of victory for you and I. And what's going to be great is there's going to be a day that he comes and revisits. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ turns to the Holy Father and says, I must go again. But this time, I'm not going to the cross. This time, I'm going to go down and I'm going to claim my own. And in the time after that, glory to God, I'm going to go and fight the devil for the last time. And glory to God, you and I are going to see it. Can you imagine riding a white horse? You're going to like them then, Marie. I don't care what you say. Woo! You're going to be, I can't even imagine riding horses coming down. Jesus Christ in the front, probably having a trumpet from somebody blowing. We're coming down. Wouldn't that be great? We're coming down. The whole world, we're coming down. And then you see Michael, the archangel. There's only one. There's only one archangel. And he's a man. All angels are men. Your angels don't have wings coming out of their bodies. Cherubims and seraphims, the only ones that have wings, you can take that up with the author, that's Jesus Christ. They're not the Catholic ones with the little halos just growing around strumming harps. No way. When Michael comes down, he's going to grab the old devil by the tail. He's going to swing him around a few times, and he's going to throw him in the lake of fire to be there forever. Well, you should say amen a lot louder than that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when the devil's gone, sin goes right with him. Amen. Glory to God, we won't have to face that anymore. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a place of victory. We live in an address of victory. Preachers preached 100 times from the pulpit. I would to God we get it in our hearts. The Lord sees us as we're already there. We've got the victory. We are more than conquerors in Him. Why then do we live in the city of defeat? It's just too hard on this earth anymore. It is hard. And I'll admit that it's hard. But can you hear this just one time? It may be hard. But when Paul says, let us go again, you've got to get that in your heart, Christian. Let us go again. You don't understand, brother. I've met defeat. I know you've met defeat. Go again. Because if you've met defeat once, I thought about preacher talk. Him and I, we led a very similar childhood, okay? I was a much better athlete than him, but we led a very similar... He listen, a lot of times he would say if he would lose a game, he couldn't believe that he lost. Yeah. I didn't lose that many. So I mean I don't know how he feels, but he said every time I would lose a game, I would want to stay, and I would want to stay, and I would want to stay and play and play again and play again and play again until I've won, and then we can go home. Right. It's funny how excited we get about a basketball game or a baseball game. I'm not going to lose, and I'm going to stay until I win. But in our Christian lives, I'm not going to stay because I lost. Now listen, I'm going to read on here. Paul found his Timothy, one of his greatest converts, arguably his greatest convert. I'm not going to argue that point, but arguably, Timothy was one of his greatest converts. He found that in the middle of defeat, although he didn't lose. Let's watch. There was a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed that was Timothy's mama. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches. Listen to this now. Listen to me now. You've got to see this verse. And so were the churches established. Yes, in the places that he had been and found defeat, the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. In a place where they stoned him. In a place where I'm not going to hear what you have to say about Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hear the word of the Lord. I won't hear it anymore. And we're getting to a place right now, we're getting to a place where people do not want to hear what God has to say. And I'm going to tell you, I had a talk with a preacher the other day. I'm getting a little bit more porcupine-ish every single day. I'm not kidding you. I'm getting to a point where I'm tired of sissy-whistling with Christians. Good Lord, have mercy, steel up a little bit. Let's get our noses set a little bit more straight towards Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just not a good thing to do anymore because it's offensive. Good. Good Lord, have mercy. Get off the fence. Offensive, get off fence. See, what's amazing to me is this. It was a place that it couldn't be done. Preacher, I wonder if you've ever heard that statement told to you before. It's a place where a church could not be established. Good Lord, they stoned the minister. Who would go and build a church there? God did. God built a church. In the middle of all that turmoil, God built a church. Do you think they forgot that they stoned Paul? But the church was established not in the faith that was brought by Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn, not in the faith that was brought by some crackpot who doesn't believe in the Word of God. Do you hear me? The faith that was established by Jesus Christ through His Word and Paul's mouth. They may not have liked it, but the faith was established and the churches increased in number daily. Now you might say, well, Brother Dave, what happens if your church doesn't increase in number daily? Real simple question. The answer you may not like, but the question is very simply answered. What do the people that have the faith do with it? The question comes to my mind, preacher, the church increased daily. Paul came and found the church increasing daily. Paul was not there increasing the church daily. Paul, who was one of the greatest missionaries ever, was not there increasing the number daily. Who was there? You were there. Christians were there. Saying, man, we've got to spread this word. We've got to let people know what Jesus Christ is all about. Hey, our leader's been stoned. And I'm sure that there was other leaders there that were helping the people, cheering them on. Don't misread me there. But understand this, wherever you go, you are a leader for Jesus Christ. You're not exempt from it. The way you lead your life matters. The church has increased daily without Paul being there. The church has increased daily because it was a place that needed to hear the Word of God. We live in a place very similar to that today. Now, they're not stoning our preacher. But understand this. We live in a place that needs to hear the Word of God. Amen. We've got to be willing to keep preaching the Word of God no matter who likes it. Listen, I don't want a coffee house in our foyer. I don't want to bring a drum set up here. I don't want to have electric guitars. You say, well, you got acoustic guitars. Yeah, but they sound good. I don't want people standing up here drawing attention to themselves for entertainment purposes. So you can be happy. You know what I want? I want preaching. The church has increased in number daily because of the preaching of the Word of God. Not the silliness, not the foolishness, not any of those things. The things that move the hearts of people were the preaching of the Word of God. And inside their hearts, there burned something in them. And it wasn't from a drum solo. What burned inside of them was the Word of God that was planted there. The Word of God that they heard and put down in their heart and said, I'm not willing to let loose of it. Because I'm going to be honest with you, we're living there to where we've got to decide in our lives that no matter what, we're going to go again. Because Timothy's out there. And Timothy needs to know that there's people that care and love him. Hey, listen, they used to fill auditoriums outside for week-long revivals to hear Billy Sunday preach. And then they had what they call extended revivals, where they got to the end and said, man, that's just not enough. They got to the end, he'd preach for 2 hours, but that's not enough. It's like preaching at the jail. At the jail, they turn, is that it? That's all we get? We want more. Would to God we'd have that in our churches today, where you would care more about hearing the Word of God than you would care about going home and eating your chicken dinner. Well, Brother Dave, you had breakfast this morning. No, I didn't. And I want to eat too. But you know what? I'd rather belly up to the Lord's table first. Amen. I would to God we'd have a revival one time. I know it wouldn't fit into your all schedule. But I would to God we'd have a revival someday, an old-fashioned sawdust under a tent camp meeting to where we'd have godly men. Not young whippersnapper punks. I'm talking godly men come in and just shuck the corn and people wouldn't want to go. Every time Paul preached, he got in trouble for that very thing. Because he would preach and people would come. week after week, he would preach three Sabbath days in a row. He'd go into the synagogue and say, "Hey, I got to tell you about Christ." Open the floor and up stands Paul in his little contemptive voice. I don't know what he sounded like, but I can't wait to hear his voice. And listen, he would stand up and preach the word. And the people would come so much that everybody else in the county would get mad. They couldn't wait to go down and listen to him. It didn't matter what religion you were from. You wanted to hear the word of God. They would come and get saved. And the numbers would increase daily because they couldn't get enough of the word of God. You got to ask yourself, Christian, have you gotten to a place where you've had enough? Have you gotten to a place where you're satisfied but no longer hungry? Have you gotten to a place where you no longer care for the things of God? I've met too many tragedies, Brother Dave. Where's God then? And that's a good question. I've heard that a lot. Where's God now that my life has fallen apart? Where's God now that I can't make my ends meet? Where's God when all this is happening? God never left. I know that's hard to hear, but God never left. Why would he put me through this? I don't know. When you get to heaven, you'll praise him. And then you can ask him. As he shows you his nail-pierced hands. As he shows you the hole in his side from the spear. As you see the holes in his scalp from that crown of thorns, you can ask him, "Where were you, God, when I couldn't pay my bills?" That's good preaching. Hey, listen. God never promised that we wouldn't have turmoil. Matter of fact, he promised we would. The question is, are you willing to go back again? Are you willing to find that Timothy? Are you willing to watch the church grow in number daily in the midst of a time when the church ought not grow? Are you willing to see a building built on Infirmary Road in an economic time when there's no way we should get the money? Are you willing to wait for a preacher's word from God when he says we ought not borrow the money? Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to see God do a miracle? You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I hope Russell Anderson doesn't give us the money. Why? I want it to come from a source that you can't even imagine. I want it to come from a source that you look back and you say, that's got to be God. I want it to come from a place where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that in the middle of defeat, in the middle of an economy that cannot be fixed, in the middle of a time when Obama's taking all of our money and giving it to somebody else, in the middle of all that, are we willing to see that building built? Are we willing to see the church go forward for Jesus Christ? Are we willing, Christian? Are we willing to go back again? It's taken too long, Brother Dave. I can't wait. I can't wait anymore for the building. I can't wait. It's taken too long. Obviously, we don't know what we're talking about. Obviously, we don't know what we're doing. Obviously, we've gone through so many. Obviously, we don't know. And you know, it's taken too long. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't care how long it takes. As long as God does it. Amen. And in his time. Man gets ahead of himself an awful lot. But God never gets ahead of himself. Are you willing to go back again, my friends? Because if you go back, that's where Timothy is. Good Lord, have mercy. I would love to build a 20,000-member work out there. Are we willing to go back? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being wonderful. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us testing and trials in the midst of our lives because, Lord, that's when we can look up to you and realize how great you are. It's when we're on our knees begging you. It's when we're on our knees and we can't understand why. That's when you're found. It's when we're on our knees begging you for that Timothy that Timothy comes. It's when we're on our knees in the midst of defeat that you bring great victory. Lord, please. Give us victories. Each individual person in this room, go up and down the pews and give them victory so they can see it and they know it's you. So they can see it and it's not from the world. So they can see it and they look back and say, oh, I'm so thankful I went back. That's got to be God. Lord, be good to us. Love us. Care about us and forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for not wanting to go back to the tough times. Forgive us, Lord, for not wanting to go back to the place where we met resistance. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for taking a time out in the midst of your battle. Lord, help us. Help us to find you again. Help us to go back to you again. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, be with us today. Let us have a great day. Anoint my pastor. Lord, he's got two great messages for us, and they're from you. Lord, please preach through them today. And I pray we have a great day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.